Alright, this is October 15th, Rivers in the Desert.
Good evening.
Good evening. Good evening.
Yes, we're back to Rivers in the Desert. But before we start, I would like you,
hello,
to go around the room. You will say to him, I am a unique, individualized expression of God.
I'm a unique, individualized expression of God.
Say that to Thomas.
Thomas. Yes. I'm a unique, individualized expression of God.
I'm a unique, individualized expression of God.
Good. And I am a unique, individualized expression of God. This is very important to realize and to know. I pass out a thing, excuse me, called Love of Creating. Let's go over this quickly. And here it says, insist on yourself, never imitate. Every great man is unique. That was Ralph Waldo Emerson. Why is it so important to realize that you are an individualized expression of God, that you are a unique person, that you are a unique individualized expression of God? Please, we are never imitating anybody else. You have to realize how unique you are. You can never compare yourself to anyone. In this teaching, we never compare. There's no such thing as comparison. There's only creativity. And you're always creating something. And we get ourselves into trouble anytime we start to compare ourselves with anybody else. The outside world, that thing we call race mind out there, always wants to tell you that you have to be like everybody else. That you have to look like everybody else, that you have to be this weight, this height, you have to be blonde, blue-eyed, and whatever. And when you fall for that, look what it does to you all the time. You don't like yourself. Oh, I wish my hair were different, you see. I have curly hair, I wish I had straight hair, you see. Straight-haired people, oh, curly hair, I wish I had curly hair. You have to realize that you're unique. And then you look for that uniqueness and you become your own person. Never try to imitate anybody else. Find your own uniqueness. You are here on this plane of action to find and discover that uniqueness that you have. Everyone came here completely equipped to have a very successful and a thriving life here on this planet, here on this, what we call this plane of action. And you can do that when you discover that you are unique. And like yourself for your uniqueness. So many people are hating themselves for some particular thing. I don't like my hands. I don't like my hips. Oh, if I had this. Where is that getting you? You see, don't do that to yourself. Remember, loving yourself is the highest form of worship that you can give God. Loving yourself. And every time you love yourself, and if you love your legs and so forth, start seeing whatever part that you don't like about yourself, start seeing it the way you want it to be. And start loving it. And it will become that. But if you hate something about yourself, it will stay there. Hate does not change anything. Love is the only power there is in the universe. And love is the only power that will change something. Hating things never changes anything. And it makes you a very mean and bitter, spiteful person. And we don't want that. All right, let's continue here. The mind is a creative factor within us. And when the mind takes the pattern after the spirit, it automatically renews the outer man after the wholeness, or holiness or wholeness. That's from Ernest Holmes from The Science of Mind. And that is the whole idea of learning to think God thoughts after it. Learning to know that you're whole and complete and perfect all the time, regardless of what's going on. You know, any condition in your life is not an entity. It's not an entity. It has no life of its own. It's a condition. And it remains a condition as long as you're looking at it incorrectly. Once you realize that it has no life of its own, it only has the life that you're breathing into it. When you withdraw your energy from anything, that thing has to wither and disappear. But we keep our energy on different things, and we usually keep them on our faults, don't we? You know, if I ask you who you are, you can name all the faults. Can you name all your good points? You see, you're more than your faults. Years ago, I lived in upstate New York. When I say years ago, probably 40 by now. And I lived with an Italian family called the Gooches. And Mrs. Gooch told me, she said, Dallas, there's always enough good in somebody to cover up the bad. Always enough good. And that's what you have to look for. Look for all the good. Not only in yourselves, but in life itself. Always concentrate on the good. When you concentrate on the good, you get more of the good. That's how you nourish something. That's how you make something grow. So, look for the good in life. Very easy, very simple. Remember, science of mind, using your thinking. Learn to think the thought that you want to think. Okay, let's go on. It took me a while to discover that I was made in the image and likeness of God. You have to realize that you're made in the image and likeness of God inwardly. No one looks like God except me. Which is not a bad idea. No one looks like God. God is not a human being. God is anthropomorphic. God is an energy. God is a spirit. God is not human. Therefore, God does not have any human qualities. What do I mean by that? God doesn't have emotions. God doesn't get angry. God is love and remains always loving. Always loving. I heard it, I read it, but it did not seem to apply to me in a practical way. It was after I had been writing for a few decades that I discovered that it was spirit within me that was doing the writing, especially when it was good. We are each being used by spirit to create. Excuse me. We're each a channel for this power to come through. And ask the power to come through. We have many actors here. You know perfectly well when you do something well on the stage or in front of the camera, you feel something different. And that's that spirit coming through you. You sing. You know when you're in it. And it comes through you, right?
Yeah.
I know when I'm talking, when I'm with spirit and when I'm not with spirit. I know when spirit is coming through me and doing the talking for me. And I open myself for that. All my talks are based on that. And I will tell you, this evening, I was away. Of course, I was in Washington, remember, straightening out that financial thing that they were doing down there. I got that under control, so now I'm back home again. But I said today, what am I going to do? How am I going to? Because being away, I work on these talks off and on all week. But today, I thought, oh my, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? And I was at my desk. I did different things and the yada, yada, yada. Then I decided, oh, I think I'll get out my Science of Mind book. As soon as I got out my Science of Mind book, all these things fell out. You may have had these before, but I've never seen them. So I said, huh, here it is. We're going to use this. This fell out of the book. Out of the book. This is the way spirit uses you. This is the way spirit uses you. And I never get upset because I know, even at the last moment, this talk will come together. I will have the material. It will be placed in front of me. And this is what you have to learn for yourselves, you see. Move yourself out of the way and allow this thing to work for you. makes your life so much easier, people. You don't have to do all this grunting and carrying on that you do. You only do that because you're trying to force something. Never try to force a demonstration or anything else. Open yourself and allow God or this thing, whatever you want to call it. You know, God doesn't care what you call it. You'd call it Harry. God, see, is not emotional. God's not going to get upset and say, oh, you forgot my name. How could you forget my name? God doesn't care, you say. God is beyond thoughts and words. God is infinite. So open yourself to that and realize that there's an intelligence out there, that we're all living, moving, and having our being in the mind of God. And that that mind contains everything. When you want to find out anything nowadays, what do? You hook up your computer and go to that, what? Internet. Well, what's that called? You know, if I want something, I just type it in.
Google.
Well, you Google something. There, see? So why don't you goggle something? You're saying? You have to know that it's a mind. And that's all the big World Wide Web is doing. It has all that information collected in there. All the information you ever want or need is contained in the mind of God. And you have to know that you're an individualized expression of that mind and that you can use that mind. And the way to use that mind is just to sit and do what, people? What do we use?
Imagination.
We use our imagination. One of the best gifts that we were ever given, and we keep forgetting to use it. So you sit and you start to imagine that, and you imagine this information coming through. And you don't get nervous and anxious and all that. As soon as you start to get nervous and anxious and all, you're blocking the flow. You're just blocking it. When you sit and know that everything is going to be all right, everything is going to come around. By the way, wasn't the stock market up today? Yes, I think it was 900 points or something. So you see, everything comes back around again. It's not an entity of its own. Okay. We are each being used by Spirit to create. You have to realize that. I mean, we like to say, because of our personality, that we're doing all this. It's always this power within, or the Father within, that is doing the work. We're just letting it flow through us as a channel so that we get what we want. Each time we think a thought, we create something. Now, isn't that wonderful? Each time we think a thought, we create something. What are you creating with your thinking? What is the whole idea of metaphysics, or the whole idea of science of mind, or religious science? It's learn to think the thought that you want to think, and learn to feel the feelings that you want to feel. Now, the whole idea of, I always say, is you must become a witness to your own thinking. You must realize that you are not your mind. Your mind is yours, and your mind is yours to you. And you have to learn how to control that. So I will tell always a little story on myself. I was back home visiting with my family. They were there. And I went to my nephew's house. And there was a wonderful tureen on his buffet. And I said to my brother, is that that tureen I've been looking for years that you could never find? And he said, yes, that is. He said, I found it in my basement. It happens to be mine. He said, I found it in my basement, so I gave it to J.D. And I said, well, that's quite all right. It's an antique tureen, English, and I got it years ago, at least 30-some years ago, when I had an antique shop in Savannah, Georgia. So, but at that time, I had antiques. I don't have antiques. I'm building up to the story. I don't have antiques. I don't need this thing. But I had asked, and it had completely disappeared, and we didn't know if it got broken or sold or what. But there it appeared. Now, I said, fine. So now I'm on the plane, saying goodbye. I said goodbye to him. I'm on the plane coming home. And all of a sudden, my mind says, how dare they do that? How dare they could at least said something. He could have called and said, Dallas, I found that tureen you're looking for. Do you mind if I give it to my son? They say nothing. They're taking from you, Dallas. They're data. I said to my mind, shut up. Who cares? I don't want the thing. Even if I had the thing, I couldn't put it out in my apartment. My apartment wouldn't look right with that. You know. You have to watch what your mind is doing to you. Now, you see, I could have left that go on to where I would have gotten home, yelled and screamed at my brother and said, I never want to see you again. This is the way everything happens in life. You see? One little incident happens and we go to war. We build up and build up and build up and build up till we go to war. You have to watch your thinking. You have to see what your mind is saying to you all the time. Remember, your mind is not your friend. It will never be your friend. Don't fall for that. It has never brought you any good news, and it will never bring you any good news. So when these things happen, you have to tell it to go back to the nothingness from whence it came. From whence it came. And then you choose a peaceful mind again, and you choose the thought that you want to think. And you release that so that it doesn't build and build and build and build till it's completely out of proportion. That's the way you run your mind, you see. So, I left that go, and now I'll be able to like my brother again, you see. But I could have built on that. Oh, he always gets everything, he always does this. You know, I mean, my mind could go on forever with that kind of stuff. And it's all garbage. That's not the way you want to live. You use up too much time with stuff like that. Just too much time. And it means nothing. It means nothing. Okay. When we are conscious of ourselves as creative beings, we can choose thoughts and actions that restore us to our true self. You see, thoughts and actions that restore us to our true self. Our true self is always going to be love. It's always going to be love. And it's going to start with you. It's going to start with, do you love yourself? You see, do you love yourself? You cannot love anybody else till you learn to love yourself. And we like to think, oh, we can get away with it. You can't get away with it. Learn to love yourself. Every little part of you, every little cell, you see. Learn to love your baby finger. Wonderful. If you can't learn, Raymond Charles Barker, wonderful metaphysician and minister in New York, was able to fill Alice Tooley Hall for years in Lincoln Center. And he had a fabulous spiritual counseling. And people would come to him who didn't like themselves. And he said, can you at least start with your baby finger? Can you look at your baby finger and like your baby finger? And then start with that and start liking yourself till you really like yourself. You have to start somewhere, you see. And then you build on that. Here again, life is a do-it-yourself project, people. You have to do this for yourself. You can come to these classes, you can read every book in the world, but until you make up your mind that you're going to love yourself, it's not going to work for you. So, learn to love yourself. Okay. When I first became acquainted with the Science of Mind principles, I fell in love with Ralph Waldo Emerson. Who wouldn't? Because he was such a champion of individualism. As I came to understand that we are unique emanations of God, incarnated for its own self-knowingness. For its own self-knowingness. Remember last week, I think I talked about self-realization. What does self-realization mean? We have several places around here, churches or whatever they call themselves, self-realization centers, I believe. And what does that mean? To be self-realized, not self-actualized, but self-realized. To be self-realized means that you realize that you're one with God and that you are God. And that's why we make that statement, all that I am is God, but I am not all that God is. So, come to that self-realization. My goodness, I'm hooked up to this power. I'm one with this power. This power is flowing through me. I am unstoppable. Nothing can keep me down. Can you imagine God being kept down? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. You see. So the whole idea is to learn to change your concept of God. Remember, if you're not getting what you want in life, you have to throw that God out and get a bigger, better God. You see. It's only ever a God problem, remember. If you're having a problem, it's because your God's too small. You picked a small God. Just kick it out. Get a bigger one. You see? God is infinite. God is infinite. Okay, very well said. Individually, as I came to understand that we are unique, oh, I did that one, no, self-knowingness, I kept going back to Emerson for the glimmers he offered about hearing our own unique voice. Yes, learn to find that voice that's inside of you. Your own voice. It's an individualized expression of the one voice, the one life, the one mind, the one intelligence. It belongs to you. You have something to say. Remember, you are not here on this plane of action at this particular time if you don't have something to offer. You came here completely equipped to offer this plane of action something. And that something is inside of you, and it's unique. And you must find that and contribute that to this whole life experience that you're having on this plane of action. So look for it. Now, where do you look? You always look within. And you say, well, I don't know. Well, say that. I don't know. Tell me what it is. Show me the way. Give me a lead. This is the way you talk to this power, you see. And again, what do you use? You use your imagination, absolutely. In one of our centers, they gave newcomers a rose. And the minister speaks of how each visitor is a unique expression of God. The ritual resonates with our soul because it is true. How wonderful to celebrate the many aspects of God as me and as you. Affirmation. I am created in the image and likeness of creativity. Image and likeness of creativity. That's all God is, by the way, is creativity. You see. All God is creativity. Life. Intelligence. This is what God is. God's not a man sitting on the sky someplace pulling strings and saying, I like you and I don't like you. God loves everybody. So you must learn to love yourself. You must learn to love yourself. You must realize that not only are you whole and complete and perfect, but you're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. With that, let's do the matter thing. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. Yay! Now, I'm going to tell another cute story, which happened before I left for Washington to solve that debacle that was going on down there. And I always ask Laurie about these things. So I was at home, don't know what night it was, and I was trying to think of our three things. And Laurie knows those three things, don't you, Laurie? What are they?
With God, all things are possible. This you can do and more. It's done unto you according to your belief.
Yes, it's always done unto you as you believe. If I could get the first two, it took me 10 or 15 minutes for my mind to come up with, it's always done unto you as you believe. See, your mind never wants you to know the truth. It always will keep sabotaging you. So even though I have been doing those forever and a day, they go right out of my mind. That's why it's so important every day to tell yourself that you're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. You have to get that where it's absolute rote. That's the whole idea of learning to think the thought that you want to think. So that your mind will throw that up. Instead of throwing up, why did he give that tureen to his son when it was mine? You see? You have to be able to do that. You have to be able to do that for yourself. That's what it's all about. Now, also we're doing rivers in the desert. So metaphysically, what does rivers mean? Well, the river, whenever we talk about a river, that's water. Whenever we talk about water, that's mind, remember? So a river running through something is the creativity that's running through you right now. And even though you think you're in a desert, and what does a desert mean? A desert means that you're living in lack and limitation, that you're having doubts, fears, and so forth, and you put yourself into a desert. But you have to know that in that desert and underneath all those doubts, fears, and so forth, is running a river. And that river is creativity. And now you realize that creativity is God itself. So, inside of you, you always have the answer to everything you want. The river always is running. This thing called God never runs out, never runs dry. But we concentrate so on the surface of everything and the appearance it's going on, and we think that everything is falling apart. A few weeks ago, everyone was all completely upset over the stock market and so forth. Does anyone realize that this whole situation that's going on right now, although it seems to really be upsetting a lot of people, since the 70s, this is about the 7th or 8th time that this same thing has happened, but people immediately forget that. And it always comes back, it always bounces back, and it will always bounce back. Why is that? Because we live in an abundant universe, in a prosperous universe. And it's always going to come back around. How does it come back around? It comes back around because we start to lose the fear. And we start to get confidence again, you see. And now we have confidence because the government's pumped something in there. So now we say, phew, boy, now we've changed our mind. Oh, now it's not as bad as we think. As soon as we think it's not as bad as that, it's not as bad as that. It's not as bad as that. Now, that horrible television set that I turn on periodically, I wrote this down. This is from a thing where people are talking, and it's about buying things for your home, like big items. You go, you can get them at a ridiculously low price someplace, and these people save all this money. I don't know what it's called anymore, but some man on their young man, he uses this service, you know, if you want to buy a stove or whatever you're doing to decorate your house. And here's what he said. I am not expecting to get rich. I will be middle class all my life. That's an affirmation, people. And it's a horrible affirmation. And many people are making that affirmation either out loud or silently to themselves. And they're saying, I'm not expecting to get rich. You have to expect to get rich. I will tell you this, you don't always get what you want, but you always get what you expect. You always get what you expect. You have to expect to be rich. And then you just open yourself to this thing called God and realize that you live in an abundant, prosperous universe. But don't ever say to yourself, I'm not expecting to get rich. I will be middle class all my life. I will be middle class all my life. You see, many people cannot advance past what their parents did. If their parents were middle class, they're middle class. If their parents were Lutherans, they're Lutherans. If their parents were Republican, they're Republican. You have to learn to think for yourself. You're an individualized expression of God. Your thinking processes are different than other people's. Learn to use them. Don't be sheeple. Don't be like the sheep and follow somebody. Learn to be an individualized expression of God. And learn that anything on the outside of life is not an entity. It is a condition, and all conditions change. And learn to live in truth, not in facts. A fact changes. Truth never changes. A fact may be at the present moment that your bank account is not as big as you would like it to be. But the truth is that money is always freely circulating in your life, and you always have a divine surplus, that you live in an abundant universe. And you have to go back to that idea and live in that, you see. You have to live in that. It's done with feeling, and it's done with vibration. What vibration are you living in? If this young man is expecting always to be middle class, then he's vibrating at that level. And he will never get out of it. It doesn't matter You have to learn to vibrate at your demonstration. You know, once you make a treatment and you want to lift, or an affirmation, doesn't matter which, then you must live at the level of that demonstration. You can't say, I am rich, I am abundant, I am opulent, and then not do something about that. You're safe. You have to then start to do something about that. What are you going to do? I don't know. But you have to think of something. What did I do this summer? Okay, I'll give you an example of how I do these. I love flowers. And I used to spend a great deal of money on flowers. Somebody said, how much do you think you spend a year on flowers? I said, oh, maybe $15,000. They said, amazing, isn't it? So I say, oh, now I could think of some other way and still live in that vibration. So I planted zinnias. So all summer I've had nothing but zinnias in my house. This morning I went down, they're still blooming. Picked them all, put them all over my house again. Zinnias. You see? So all summer I've had zinnias, and to plant them and to put them in cost me $40. You see? But I'm living at that vibration. See, this teaching or this class is called Prosperity and Abundance, including money. Including money. But you have to then start living at these different levels, you see. So when I see flowers and so forth, it makes me feel good. It makes me feel prosperous. It makes me feel opulent. So I keep flowers around. But you don't have to spend $15,000 in flowers a year. You can do other things. But you have to learn to live at the level of your demonstration. So when you make a treatment or you make an affirmation, then start living that. Because it's already done in mind. You must just move into it. Pardon?
Learn to live at the level
of the demonstration.
Does that mean go beyond your means?
You never go beyond your means. This is where people get into trouble in this teaching. Then they start to go beyond their means. You don't go beyond your means, but you figure out some way to do that. You're saying, learning to live at the level of your demonstration. Okay, you want a new car. Now you just can't make the statement or the affirmation or the treatment that you want a new car without starting to live at that level. What kind of a car do you want? Then you go to the dealership and you sit in that car. You get all the brochures you can on that car. You start to see it in magazines. You start to pace it around. You start to do something till you start to feel. And it's when you start to feel, you start to vibrate. When you start to vibrate, now you're living at that demonstration. That demonstration will come to you almost instantly. It will come to you almost instantly. You see? So people hold off, you see. You can't hold off on these things. Faith without action is dead. Always treat and move your feet. You must do something. The law of this universe is nothing for nothing. If you do nothing, you get nothing. That's the law. That's the way the law works. And that's an immutable law, and that's that law of cause and effect we talk about, or the secret, or whatever people are calling it nowadays, but it happens to work all the time. It's the law of mind. What you put out comes back to you. What you put out comes back to you. So you just learn to live at a different level. You see, you can't make those statements and then immediately start feeling poor and so forth again, or looking around and not doing anything. You have to do something about that. You want new clothes and so forth. Go home and throw your old clothes out. Go through your clothes, and those that have holes and stuff in them, throw them out and make room for the new clothes. Now you're going to say, oh, but I don't have the money. You say, now what do we know about money? Money is never the issue. Money is never the issue. Remember? I just came back and forth across the country for $7.50. Cost me $7.50. Well, it really didn't cost me, because I offered to pay the $7.50, and my friend said, oh, don't be ridiculous. I said, thank you very much. and I got $7.50. So I really flew back and forth across the country for nothing. For nothing. Now, how did I get to go across the country for nothing? Well, I had several little clever ideas in my head. But I have to always come up and tell you that because I make the affirmation that money is always freely circulating in my life, and I always have a divine surplus of everything, and that people give me things. That people give me things. Did I ever tell about the year I decided I wanted gold, lots of gold? So I said, people give me gold, people give me gold, people give me gold. Well, I wound up with lots of gold things. And I still wind up with lots of gold things. This beautiful gold watch, which is an antique watch, was given to me. So I still, this ring was given to me. Because, see, I make that affirmation and I know that the channel is going to be open. And when somebody offers it to me, I don't say, oh, no, I couldn't take it. Oh, no, couldn't do that. The whole idea of this teaching, the whole idea of being on this plane of action is to do what? It's learning to learn to receive. It's to learn to receive. You see? This thing called God is pouring down things on you all the time, but you're not open to receive them, so you don't see them. And you don't get them. So learn to open yourself to receive what you want. Learn to open yourself to that. If you don't open yourself to it, then you're living in that whole thing of the desert again. You just put yourself there. God never puts you in the desert, never puts you in jail, never takes anything from you. This thing called God is always giving, 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 giving. Now, why can you prove that God is always giving something to you? You're alive, aren't you? God is giving you life every moment. You think you're giving yourself life? Try to make your heart stop beating. That life is coming through you all the time. So you have to know that. So if God loves you so much to keep you alive, don't you think God would supply you with everything else? But we get off track somewhere and think we have to do all this ourselves. And we get off track because we say that we have the haves and the have-nots. You see, we love to do that. That's our little ego mind of ours. I'm better than you are. No one is better than anybody else. You're having a different experience, that's all. You're just having a different experience. Many people like the experience they're having. If you don't like the experience you're having, change your mind about it. Change your mind about it. God did not give you that. Oh, I have to go through this to learn something. Oh, give that idea up. You know everything already. You say. All you have to do is open to that idea. You say, I'm sure God wants me to go through this. I'll be a better person. Oh, for God's sake. That just drives me nuts. But the worst one that I always like is somebody who's suffering before they die. And they say they were so brave to suffer. What is this idea of suffering? Where did it came from? You're not here to suffer. You're not here on this plane of action to suffer. You're here to live, to love, and to laugh. Live, love, and laugh. That is what you're here for. That's what this experience is all about. But we made it into this great big whatever we made it into. Where we think all this stuff is real out there. It's not real. It's not real at all. So, anyway, last week I talked some things about that Laurie wanted to hear. In this class, when I hear somebody needs help or anything, I pay attention. And I try to incorporate that into all the talks so that you get the information that you need. Anytime that you don't get the information that you need, ask me. I will find that information out for you. This is not a class for people to come and go and not get what they want. You're here to get what you want. By the way, there are papers on the table that you have not received that are for you tonight. And they happen to fall out of a book that I was looking at today. So, and I'm delighted that you're here. I talked there for a moment, since you were a little late, that mind was keeping you from having me. So, anyway, always your question must be answered. You cannot go through your life or through this class and not have your question answered. That is not the way this thing called God works. The same way, if you have a desire, that desire must be fulfilled. You cannot have the desire. If you have the desire, the other side of the coin is that it's already done, it's already fulfilled. God does not give you an ice cream cone. And then before you're able to take a lick of that ice cream cone, take it out of your hand and not allow you to have it. So if you have a desire and a sincere desire, you have to know that everything is there to fulfill that desire. That's exactly the way it works. It doesn't work any other way. So you have to learn that, you see. So it's training your mind to think differently. That's all metaphysics is. It's training your mind to think differently. Because we were raised in race mind. Very few people were raised with a metaphysician, you see. If you would have been raised with a metaphysician, immediately what would you know? Worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter, and that you're wonderful. That you're wonderful. You were never taught that you're wonderful. And you must realize how wonderful and how precious you really are, and how unique you are. That's what this experience is about. Anyone who succeeded in anything, made great amounts of money, painted something great, did anything great, got there by realizing that they were wonderful and that they were worthy, deserving, and totally lovable, and that they mattered. That's how they got to where they are. So think of those things. Work on yourself and on this inner life that you have, and the rest will be added onto you. That's the whole idea, people. Of first, seek the kingdom of heaven, and all else will be added unto you. All else will be added unto you. I told you this 100,000 times. Money is a side effect. Money is a side effect of your consciousness. You see, if you want money, work on your consciousness, and money will come to you. Change your mind. That's all it's about. You just have to change your mind about these things. People want money, but they don't realize. The same way people come to this class, and they say, oh, that's that positive thinking class. I don't teach positive thinking. Positive thinking is a byproduct, is a side effect of this teaching. You have to start to think positively. It just comes naturally. But it comes as a side effect, you see. Once you know that you're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter, you have to start thinking positive about things. You have to start thinking, if you know that you matter, then you must matter to this thing called God. And if you matter to God, then you must know that you're being taken care of. You see. So, you don't start judging by appearances. Oh, I'm going to lose my 401k. I'm going to lose all this money. This is going to happen to me. That's going to happen to me. Yada, 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 yada. Whatever the mind is telling you. You must say, you know what? God is the source and the supply. God is the gift and the giver. And then you stay with that instead of getting involved with what the world's doing out there. The world's always going to be crazy. It's always been crazy since day one. Well, maybe the second day it started to be crazy. You see? Because we started to immediately judge things and say, well, this isn't quite right, and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. So, what is it? We were doing Ralph Waldo Emerson. What was Ralph Waldo Emerson's statement saying? Get your bloated nothingness out of the way. get your blended nothingness out of the way and allow this power to come through you. Allow it to come through you. Okay. I have tons of little cards that I want to do. We did the river. We did the desert. Ah. We talk about sincere all the time. I looked up sincere because, you know, if you have a sincere heart, Lisa knows this. Lisa and I went to healing school together. And you can heal anyone if you have a sincere heart. And any desire that you want, if it's a sincere desire, you'll get it right away. But most people don't know. So I looked up sincere. And it says, free from pretense or deceit. The same in reality as in appearance. The same in reality as in appearance. Or genuine, honest, and frank. Be frank, be genuine, be honest. Be, have a sincere heart. You say, this is who I am. No pretense about it. And you will get what you want. Okay. Our part is to prepare our blessings and follow our intuitive leads. Our part is to prepare for our blessings. How do you prepare? Okay. We call this rivers in the desert. Okay, say you're in a desert and you want rain. You have to start digging ditches. That's preparing for your good. You always have to be preparing for your good. Many people want somebody in their life. I say to them, have you made room in your closet? Have you moved your clothes over, thrown some clothes out, made a little space? Have you cleaned a drawer out for somebody? That's preparing for what you want. If you don't do that, you're not going to get it. I don't care how many affirmations you make and how many bars you go to or single clubs or how long you stay on the computer. Until you make an effort, until you do something, you're always preparing for your good. That's what it means. Even though I do not see rain, I am building a ditch. Because I know that the rain is coming. It's going to be there. You see? What do you expect? And then you start to do something about that expectation. We must stop planning, plotting, scheming, and let the infinite intelligence solve the problem in its own way. That's an awful one, isn't it? In its own way. We must stop planning and plotting and scheming and let infinite intelligence solve the problem in its own way. You see? We always want to tell God how to solve a problem. I never tell God how to solve a problem. You know, I told you this, and I'll tell you it again. I say, you know, I don't know how to do this, but I know you do. So you tell me, and we'll do it your way. There was a famous old lady in the South that was a healer. People would come and say, yada, 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 this is wrong with me, that's wrong with me. Okay. Somebody said, how do you do that? She said, I have no idea what those people are talking about. She said, after they leave, I go outside and say, God, I don't know what to do, but I know you do it. And that's all you have to say. I don't know what I'm doing, but I know you do, God, so you do it. You do it. Work through me. And do it for me. You see, what's the sense of having a God if you're not going to use it? I just can't figure that one out. That would be like having a car and never getting it to drive. God is there to use, you see. I know people always get upset when I say use God. You know, everyone knows that God's mighty, but you have to know that God's useful. You see? Start using God. All right. Your negative emotions drowned out the voice of intuition. You know when you're being negative. Being negative and being positive is a choice. All life is a choice. You're always choosing. And what are we usually choosing? The two things that we're usually choosing is, do I want to be right or do I want to be happy? And most people want to be right. And then they can't figure out why they're not happy. The choice in life is always going to be, do I want to be right or do I want to be happy? You're safe. So back to my terrain. If I'm right, I'm not going to be happy. And I was right. You have to let that go. It doesn't matter who's right and who's wrong. That's the world out there. That's why we get into all this turmoil all the time. That's why all these conflicts are going on, because somebody wants to be right. You see? The world teaches right and wrong, left and right, up and down. You see, in the mind of God, there's no such thing. There's no such thing. You know, when they go into space, they can't tell what's up and what's down. Can't tell. But we think we know. Doubt and fear is the rope stretched around your consciousness. When you have doubt and fear, think of that. Oh, I've just now girdled myself in. Now you can't think past that. That's the box you put yourself in. If you're in doubt and fear, you're in this box. Now, outside of that box, there is something else. So you must go to the something else. And outside of that box, there's something else. And outside of that box, there's something else. You see? In my Father's house, there are many mansions. That's what that means. There are many consciousnesses. There are many levels of thinking. Look out at nighttime into space. You think, oh, as far as you can see, that's space. There's more than you can see. You have to realize that. There's always going to be more than you can see. So if you're living in doubt and fear, you're only seeing from here. You have to know, oh, I can see past doubt and fear. And there's more. There's more and more and more and more. That's why we call it infinite. There's no edge of space. So in your mind, when you're doing those things, use your imagination again and think of that. Doubt and fear is the rope stretched around your consciousness, and say, oh, doubt and fear, and then just, oh, and say, oh, I think I'll let that go. And open yourself. Open yourself. You're the one that's doing it. The mind must... I found these too. These are old. Okay, dropped out of a book. The mind must conceive before the created energy can produce. We must supply the avenue through which it can work. What does that mean? The mind must conceive. You conceive something. And then this creative force called God comes through that. And you supply the avenue from which, where it can work. What does that mean? Well, God is working in, as, and through you all the time. But it can only work in, as, and through you with your thinking and with your thoughts. You see, if you say something cannot be done, it cannot be done. If you say something can be done, now you've opened up another channel and another avenue through which this power can work. It's done with your thinking. It's done with your mind. Done with your imagination. There's a wonderful saying that goes, what man can conceive, mind can achieve. You see, if you can conceive it, mind, meaning God, big mind, not, can achieve that thing. But you have to start to conceive what you want. You see, you can't conceive something. God would not do that to you and not give you the means to be able to make it come true. What man can conceive, mind can achieve. The law works for us as we work with it. Let us waste no further time looking for the secret of success or the key to happiness. Already the door is open. And whosoever will may enter. You must realize that, that the door is always open. Just enter. Enter this thing. Enter this mind of God. Enter this life of God. Enter this creativity of God. Why aren't you entering that? Because, 10 to 1, I'm going to give you the answer to this. You still think you're separate. You still will not let your mind tell you that you're one with God. All that you are is God, but you are not all that God is. You're absolutely afraid of that statement. Your mind wants to keep you from knowing that because it wants to separate you. You cannot make a demonstration if you're separated from the power that causes the demonstration. You have to sit down and convince yourself that you're one with God. You have to convince yourself of that. And then this power will work through you. So don't be afraid of that. You're getting wonderful Christmas gifts. Ha ha, I'll tell you. So that Andy's working on them now. He doesn't know he's working on them now. Remember I gave you something a long time ago. We'll do those for Christmas so that everyone gets one of those. That'll be my Christmas gift to the class. And those will be on CDs and you will play them 24/7 until you know that you're one with God. That will be how you're going to start 2009. Enough of this fooling around. The treatment is an intelligent energy in the invisible world. It is a spiritual entity. Did you know that? That a treatment is a spiritual entity? Conditions are not entities. But a treatment is an entity, meaning that it has a life of its own. It's also the highest form of life we can have. You didn't know that, I know. Shouldn't have brought that up.
It's another time.
Is a spiritual entity working through the law of mind. Force consciously directed. It's a force consciously directed. You have to direct this thing called God and tell it what you want and then do something about that. But you first of all, what? Have to believe. You have to believe. How do you get to believe? Use your imagination. Keep using your imagination. Use this mind that you were given. And use that gift of imagination to bring into your life what you want. The world... Oh, I love this one. This is my favorite. Simply because it pokes things. The world has never yet followed the simple ethics of Jesus. Yet it is loud in the proclamation that it is Christian. I love that one, don't you? I'll read it again. The world has never yet followed the simple ethics of Jesus. Yet it is loud in its proclamation that it is Christian. You see, Christianity went out the window as soon as they raised the first sword. You see, the Crusades, as soon as all that stuff, no more Christianity. You don't kill people. That wasn't one of the ethics of Jesus. What was Jesus' ethic? What covenant did Jesus bring into this world? Covenant of love. What did Jesus say? Love your neighbor as yourself, he also said. If you love your enemy, they are no longer an enemy. If you want to get rid of your enemy, love that enemy. As soon as you start to love something, you can no longer hate it. You've destroyed your enemy. Love is the only answer every time. And where does it start? Starts with you. You must learn to love yourself more and more and more. Love yourself so much you can't stand yourself. You'll love it. Ah, what a difference the framework of your perceptions and beliefs can make. What a difference the framework of your perceptions and beliefs can make. What are you believing? What are you perceiving? How is it doing? Now we're going to end with this. We're talking over time. A sincere desire is a prayer. That's all a prayer is. A treatment of prayer is a sincere desire. What do you really want? What exactly do you really want? Ask yourself that. Use that. But know that you are worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. And it's wonderful. And so are you, and so am I, and there ends the lesson. Thank you.